Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Amen. Let's worship that one who is all those things for us. Lord God, we thank you. Thank you for who you are this morning. We do give you our highest praises. We do give you all honor and glory. We thank you that we are your beloved children, that you have done everything, everything possible to have a relationship with us. You have pursued us with relentless love. You have died for us. You have risen again for us. You've promised us life forever with you in heaven because you desire to be with us. Oh, Lord God, may we truly give you all of who we are. May we remember your statement to us in Scripture that just as a mother cannot forget her nursing child, so you do not forget us, O Lord. You know us through and through. The hairs on our head are numbered. O Lord God, may we give back to you all of who we are, all of who we are, and may we serve you with gladness this day and every day. For you are God, for you are King, and you love us. Amen.
As you're aware, it's Mother's Day, and I want to give a little shout out to everyone who has kids, because that's ridiculous. Kids are crazy. I told my wife, sleep in. I got this. I'll get the kids ready for church. Okay, let me just explain. I don't understand how moms do anything. It doesn't make any sense. So I have the kids this morning. My wife's asleep. They're pushing each other off the toilet. I show up. The oldest daughter, her dress is on backwards. I figured that out when I got here. My pants are wrinkled. I don't know how people function with kids. It's insane. Mothers, I don't know how you do it. God has a special anointing on you. This is really hard. That's super difficult. So difficulty level is at maximum if you're a mother. And I just want to give you a little appreciation there. So we're going to just bow our heads and say a little prayer for moms. Dear God, we lift up this congregation to you, God. We ask that you would strengthen us, that you would comfort us, God, that you would pour your love onto us. And to anyone out there who's got to look out for some other kids, anyone out there who's got to have their head on a swivel, watching out that these kids don't hurt each other or jump off of something, God, we ask that you give them a special anointing, that you give them some special ability and power to keep up with whoever little kids are running around. God, we lift up moms who've been through it, who've raised up generations of children. God, we ask that you would help us to show them our appreciation and love, that you would give us this conviction to call our parents on holidays like this, to visit them and take time. God, help us to love one another, and we praise you, God. We thank you for all the moms that have built up this church, that have built up our families. And God, we ask that you continue to bless us, that you see us through all of our hardships, that you give us challenges and you help us to rise above them, and that you help us and you remind us to lean on each other, to love one another, that love can win, that love can heal all wounds. Thank you, God, for everything you've done, for giving us our moms. And we praise you. And if you join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. The reading this morning is from Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10 and going all the way to 31. A wife, of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings and plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. And then from Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all you people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days.
Thank you for reading that, Karen, that Proverbs passage. If you read it again, you may notice that there's an entrepreneurial spirit in that, where the woman is selling fields and selling linens, and you have this sort of more classical view of women, you know, spinning flax, but then you also have this woman doing these business deals, which I just love that passage. So I hope that encourages you all. And then the one that she read second is about the spirit being in men and women both, that there's no respecter of persons where the Holy Spirit is concerned. Now, in a patriarchal society, which characterized most of the culture in which the Bible was written, and in a time when women were considered to be property, in a time when a woman's testimony would not even hold up in court, and when a husband could stone his wife if she did not comply with his wishes, and where women were generally considered unclean, we have this amazing book called the Bible that lifts up the status of women in that culture. It confers dignity and honor to them more than any other sacred text written during these ancient times. Still, usually in sermons, when we go to church, we hear a lot about what men did, right? We got Moses, Elijah, most of the prophets were men, the disciples were all men, and Paul, they're all guys. Bless them. They're good people, right? We like to hear about them. But today on Mother's Day 2018, I thought perhaps we could take a peek at some of the ways that women are honored in Scripture and how very liberating and almost radical that was at the time when these texts are written. So I'm going to go through several women, all right, in the Old Testament and the New Testament today. And for each of these women, the scripture from Proverbs that Karen read to you on the front is quoted, a part of it is quoted on the front of your program. It says she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. I love that part of the text, you know, and it, as far as I'm concerned, that's the best part of it. For each of these these women that I'm going to talk to you about today, they are confident in God's calling. And for many of them, they laugh at the time to come. So hear these words in that context, all right? So first of all, the thing is, okay, so we're beyond that culture of patriarchy. We're not in a patriarchal culture anymore. You have two books in the Old Testament that have female names. What are they? Ruth and Esther. Do you realize how unusual that was? Okay, in Hebrew literature, you do not have books with female names. Okay, and Ruth, let's take a look at Ruth first. Ruth is a story of friendship, and Ruth is also mentioned in Matthew's gospel. Does anybody know where the name Ruth is mentioned in Matthew's gospel? There you go. She teaches adult ed. She knows everything. Go to her class. The genealogy of Jesus. Ruth is in the genealogy of Jesus. Women are never mentioned in genealogies for Jews traditionally, and almost exclusively only men are mentioned. Yet Ruth is the great, how many greats? I'm not sure. Grandmother of Jesus. And what is so amazing about Ruth, I'm sorry, I get really excited about this, is that Ruth was a Moabitess. A Moabitess. Now that might not mean anything to you, but Moabites were Gentiles and arch enemies of the Jews. In fact, there's a scripture that says the following, Deuteronomy 23:3, no Ammonite or a Moabite shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation, none of their descendants shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. Ruth, a female Moabitess, is mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. Incredible. It speaks to God's inclusion, doesn't it? Of all people through Jesus. And not only lifts up women, but women who are Gentiles from every race and culture. Incredible. Now, what's Ruth's story about? Ruth's story is about her tenacious friendship. She never gives up on her mother-in-law, Naomi, just as Jesus never gives up on his friendship and presence with all of us. Ruth, the female Moabitess, actually foreshadows the very nature of Christ. Isn't that cool? Don't you love it? Amazing how God works. So maybe you're in a situation walking with someone and you want to give up. Ruth encourages us, never give up. Trust God. Be loyal in your friendships and you will reflect the very nature of Christ who never gives up on us. Two other women. So you have three women. Two other women are mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. Two more. One is Tamar, and I can't get into that story with you. I don't have time, but it's an amazing story of how strong Tamar is and how she gets what she wants. So read it sometime. But the woman that I will focus on right now in Jesus' genealogy is Rahab. Rahab the prostitute in the genealogy of Jesus. Now it's Mother's Day. I know that. Not really a time to talk about prostitutes, right? We don't do that on Mother's Day. But quite frankly, this prostitute, Rahab, was used by God to help the Hebrews cross over into the promised land. Now Rahab is fearless. She laughs at the time to come. She's strong. She hangs a scarlet cord out her window and tells the spies when it's safe to enter the city. Okay, because they're coming into a city that's already occupied. She helps God's people when no one else would get to the promised land. This story has a lot of suspense to it. Spies and scarlet cords and secret meetings. And you almost need some scary music with it. And in the end, although the city is destroyed, Rahab is saved and lived in Israel with her family all her days. Okay, so that's the Old Testament story. Then in the New Testament, after Jesus, she's also mentioned, Hebrews 11:31, by faith. Now don't forget, We're lifting up a prostitute here. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. And many say, many biblical scholars say that the scarlet cord that she hung out her window to let the spies know that it was safe to cross over was a foreshadowing of Christ's blood shed for us to give us safe passage into heaven. Now, amazing that Rahab is mentioned in Jesus' genealogy, isn't it? That's something. Now, maybe you've done some things that you're not proud of, like Rahab. Jesus' forgiveness, his blood covers it. He uses us and gives us back dignity and honor when we turn to him and he receives us as his own. Strength and dignity was given to Rahab the harlot. And she is mentioned twice in the New Testament in addition to being mentioned in Jesus' genealogy as well as multiple times in the Old Testament for her faith and service to God's people. What is the other? But we've gone through one. You mentioned it before. The second book in the Old Testament, we're moving on here, that has a female name is the book of Esther. Thank you over there, whoever said that. Esther is a Jewish girl living in Persia with the rest of the Jewish nation. She's so gorgeous. She's so gorgeous. She wins a beauty contest. All right, the king has a big thing in the land, and Esther wins this beauty contest. She becomes queen. The king says, okay, this person won this, you can be my queen. And the Gentile king who takes her as his wife doesn't know that she's a Jew. And in the course of their marriage, the king decides to murder all the Jews. Well, guess what? Esther in her position actually saves the Jewish people. And maybe you've heard the very famous quote. You see it on plaques in Christian bookstores all the time out of context. But very famous quote from the book of Esther that Mordecai, Esther's uncle, says to her to encourage her when she's feeling like, what am I going to do? My people are going to die. Her uncle says, perhaps God has put you into this position for such a time as this. Encouraging Esther, right? Saying that God has a purpose and a plan for her. So through Esther's influence, the whole Jewish nation is saved. Today, the Jews celebrate this event when they celebrate what festival? Purim. That's right. Great story. And if you really want to get into Esther, read the apocryphal version of it because it talks about her, all of what she goes through as she appears before the king and again to save the Jewish people. All right. So what does Esther illustrate? Esther illustrates to us God's purpose in all things, even when you win a beauty contest, okay? It can be part of God's purpose. And maybe you're in a situation right now that you don't understand, but it is exactly for such a time as this. God has you there for a reason. God's purpose and plan are always at work. So just know this and be encouraged. Now I'm going to move to the New Testament. In the New Testament, we have Jesus who talked to women in public and Gentile women. And not only that, Samaritan women. Now, again, just like Ruth was a Moabitess, remember, that race was enemies. The Samaritans were enemies of the Jews. So, first of all, women were not supposed to be talked to by men in public in this culture. All right. Second of all, Jews didn't talk to Samaritans at all. All right. So Samaritans are enemies. Women you don't talk to in public. So the fact that Jesus talks to a Samaritan woman in the middle of the day, okay, by the well, which is a social hangout, is a double whammy. So let's look at the scriptures. The Samaritan woman said to him, Jesus, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who's speaking to you. I'm the Messiah. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a Samaritan woman, right? That's what it says. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him, Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. All right. Again, a woman of questionable character, because she came to the well in the middle of the day at noon because she didn't want to see anybody else, because what happens at noon? It's hot, right, in the Middle East at noon. Most of them came early in the morning, had a little social time, got the water, went home. She comes at noon. You can read more about the story. I can't get into it all now. But she comes at noon. She's despised by others, and it is Jesus who lifts her up and creates the first evangelist in Scripture. And guess what? It's a woman. It's a woman. Many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. All right, I'm moving on. Two more. Maybe you've heard about Mary and Martha. They were soulmates of Jesus who lived in Bethany. Jesus would retreat to their home often when he would get tired or when he was stressed out by itinerant ministry. You know, Jesus never had a home of his own, never lived the American dream. It was Mary and Martha's home, which was also the home of Lazarus, their brother, that was the closest thing to a home for Jesus. And he would go there to retreat and get away from it all. Now, sometimes when we think of the story, we call it the story of Mary and Martha, we think about the time when Mary was sitting, listening to Jesus, and Martha was busy serving, maybe in the kitchen. How many of you have heard the story about that? Okay, so that's kind of a familiar story. And Jesus tells Martha that Mary has chosen the better thing by not rushing around serving, but by listening to him. But one little detail of this that we often miss in this story is that Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, and that position is very significant. Sitting at the feet of a rabbi was a place reserved only for men, right? Because it was instruction. You received instruction from the rabbi, and that was something that boys and men did. So, you know, it was a place that offered education, a tutorial in the law and the prophets. And Jesus is basically saying to Martha, come and take this honored position at my feet that Mary has taken. You are just as valuable and honored as any male student. You too can learn of me, Martha. Come. And Jesus was way beyond his time. He's beginning to see honoring and lifting up women and putting them into ministry. Even in the passage that Karen read, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Right? So very briefly, two more women whom we find in the book of Acts. These are women directly involved in ministry and absolutely essential in the birth of the early Christian church that we don't hear too much about. One is Priscilla, who works with her husband Aquila to preach and teach. The fact that Priscilla is always mentioned first indicates that she was a primary teacher and evangelist, not her husband. It's really interesting. It always says Priscilla and Aquila. Aquila is the guy. Priscilla is the girl. Interesting woman. So here's one excerpt about them in Scripture. Apollos, who was a new believer, began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately. So from the Samaritan woman to Mary and Martha to Priscilla, Scripture lifts up women, honors them with strength and dignity, and qualifies and anoints them to do ministry. All through Scripture, at a time when that was completely unheard of. Totally countercultural. Completely renegade, out of the ordinary in those ancient times. So women, please just take that in. Take that in. And there's so many more women that I could mention that had a huge influence on spreading the gospel and teaching and prophesying. If I had time, I'd talk with you more about them. Deborah, who was a wise judge in the Old Testament times, who influenced the Israelites at a crucial juncture to follow God's way. Huge position of leadership. Or Lydia, a wealthy woman who sold purple garments and who helped Paul get the church started by allowing it to meet in her home. In her home. There are so many more. But I want to end with Lois and Eunice. If you look toward the back of your Bible, you'll see two letters written by Paul to a guy named Timothy. Timothy was a young helper to St. Paul. 2 Timothy 1:5 speaks of Lois and Eunice, Timothy's mom and grandmother. It says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, he says to Timothy, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice and now lives in you. So I want to thank all the mothers and grandmothers who have raised their children in the faith. You're giving them the best heritage An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy, truly, where kids' faith is concerned. And I want to thank all women who maybe didn't have children of their own, but who nurtured people God brought to them and who didn't give up on them and were a friend to them, like Ruth. And I want to thank all women who have been in difficult situations but have recognized God's purpose and plan in the midst of it all and hung in there through the years, like Esther, and prevailed and in so doing saved people that they loved. And I want to thank women who have received a calling from God to evangelize, like the Samaritan woman, for doing that faithfully, sharing Christ boldly and openly. Such an important calling. Or those women who have received a calling from God to preach, like Priscilla, or a calling from God to get educated in a specific area of ministry, to learn and grow, just like Jesus called Martha and Mary to sit at his feet and do that. Friends, all these women, I mentioned many more examples for us all to follow. They're in the Bible. And if you didn't know it before, know it now, that the Bible lifts up women and honors them and calls them into ministry. So I hope this brief look at Scripture, pulling out just a few of the women that God used in a time when women were considered to be unfit to lead and learn, will encourage you all. And I'd like to close reading the Scripture. Let's read the Scripture together that Karen read for us earlier from the book of Joel. Let's read together. In those days, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your calling and the fact that you're no respecter of people, but that you are all in all, that in you, Lord, there's no male or female, but only you, Lord Jesus Christ, to be honored and glorified through our weakness. Lord, you make us strong. Thank you for these wonderful women that we got a chance to look at today in Scripture. We just pray, Lord, that we would use them as an example for ourselves to never give up, to raise our children in the faith, to nurture those people you bring to us, to lead and to help others to grow, to proclaim your gospel wherever we are. And Lord, may you fill us with your Spirit so that all that we do might be done in love. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for worshiping with us this morning. Go out in the peace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Know that his eye is upon you like his eye is on the sparrow, that he knows you, and that you can be confident in him. Amen.